The Schlereth and Evans podcast is sponsored by Xfinity. Xfinity is the best way to stream your favorite live sports on the next generation Xfinity 10G network.
You've played with great players, great teams. When you look at McKinnon and Jokic, what connects them? What are the traits that you think they both share?
Well, I think one, unselfishness. They understand. They have a great sense of basketball and hockey acumen. They really understand the game. And they understand the importance of involving others and keeping everybody, you know, in that. And I go back to as impressive and as fun as it was to watch the breakaways where McKinnon just is like, he's just got a rocket up his ass. It's unreal watching him skate. That assist to Lehkonen, the average hockey player would have taken a shot there. But he stops, gathers the pucks, backhands it to Lehkonen for a wide open score. Most people would have gone and said, he made the right play. Jokic makes the right play. He just does. Those guys have something about them where they see the game at a deeper level, more globally, than other guys. And I think that's one thing. The other thing for me is the competitive nature. Even if they don't look at it, even if like Jokic said before the game, this is not an important game. It's not that big a game. But, dude, I saw a guy go raging bull against another player who's been the defensive player of the year multiple times in Rudy Gobert, who was pestering Jokic, and Jokic said, I've had enough, and I'm going to go ahead and take control of this game now. And that was that wasn't a selfish basketball move. That was the right basketball move. And you know what happened after he did that? Brown got a alley-oop dunk over Gobert. He got another two-hand flush over Gobert, and then he had the left-handed slam over Gobert. That's not coincidence. That's all of a sudden Gobert getting out of position and Jokic finding guys. And, you know, and it just is... It just all plays one on top of another. Competitiveness and just understanding of the game.
And I'm struck when I think about these two and the way they go about their business. The old Phil Jackson line, when he was coaching Michael Jordan and the Bulls, comes back and just really resonates with me when we're having a conversation like this. When he said, do you realize how easy my job is as a coach when every day I show up to work knowing that my best player is going to be the hardest worker, demanding the most of himself and everybody around him every single day. Do you realize how lucky I am as a coach and how much easier my job is? And I would think that if I had Jared Bednar and Michael Malone sitting right here, they'd be just nodding their head like, yep.
Sets the tone. Your best player is your hardest worker and your most competitive guy. I mean, think about the stories of Nathan McKinnon. I mean, we hear spitting chiclets and Paul Bissonnette. By the way, Johnny, Paul Bissonnette on my list.
Why?
Because I reached out to him. Now, it was only via social media because I don't have his number, but never heard back from him.
Ooh. Well, let's hear a little bit from Paul Bissonnette.
Okay.
Aww. As he is definitely on board the Nathan McKinnon MVP Express.
The reason I say that is I want to say he's only like plus five, and he's done so much damage on the power play compared to the rest of the guys. That to me would be maybe a reason to pull him off. As opposed, you said it, McDavid. He has to be on the ballot, right? He's gonna be the fourth player all time to hit 100 assists in a season. And people might say Kucherov's been doing it all year and McDavid were slow coming out of the gate to the point where they had to fire their fucking coach. But I don't think that you keep McDavid off the ballot.
He went on. This was him talking about why Kucherov, who has been kind of set up as the chief competition for McKinnon to win the MVP, why he needs to be booted off the ballot. Bissonnette going on to talk more about why McKinnon's his guy.
You ain't taken McKinnon off the ballot because I think McKinnon's the fucking MVP. So if you want to slide Crosby on, you have to take Cooch off. And I know people are saying he's 50 fucking points ahead of the next guy on his team. What do you mean? That is literally the definition of the MVP. But going back to Posh's comments, if we were to give the power play merchant label to somebody, it would be Nikita Kucherov.
So Bissonnette's been in McKinnon's corner for a long time now.
So do I put him on the list, or do I put him on, like, potentially?
Potentially, because he's saying a lot of nice things about McKinnon.
Okay, so he
potentially.
He could go on the list if he's not careful.
We'll get him on. We'll get him on.
All right.
We'll get him on. But it goes so much, because, you know, you played with Elway. You played with superstars. And the way that the superstar carries, everyone's watching, right? Everyone's watching.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who walks into that room, whether you're a youngster coming up or you're a veteran who's been traded over or you've signed, you're immediately watching Jokic. You're watching McKinnon to see how they go about their business.
Here's the thing, though. You know how they're going to show up on Sunday, or, you know, in Jokic's clay case, or, you know, in McKinnon's case, Monday through Sunday. Back-to-back nights just proves that football's tougher. But but you know what they're going to do come game time. It's everything else. And, I you know, it's funny. I was doing this. I was being interviewed for this piece that NFL Films is doing on the Elway documentary. So I went down to this house in Cherry Creek area and ended up speaking, you know, and doing an hour-long interview to be part of this show that the NFL Films is putting together. And they were asking me, you know, all kinds of questions about Elway. And I went back to this. It just kind of spurred my thoughts. Something they asked me was this workout. And I was in a workout group with him in the off season. And we were doing this hammer leg press, had a bunch of weight on there, and then Rich Tootin, the strength coach, was just leaning on it. It was just about impossible to get, you know, your 10, 12 reps, right? It was just like the type of thing you get off and your legs are involuntary spasm, right? And John sits down in it, and I'll never forget, because we were rotating through groups of four or five, right? And I was in that group. He sits down, and he looks at Rich before he starts. He goes, "You realize if I refuse to do this, I'm still going to make the team, right?"
That's good,
right? And I just kind of laughed. And then, you know, he's John freaking Elway. But he still did it. He still lifted with the team, ran with the team, did all those things. And this is year, you know, 15 or 16. And it's those guys. It's like McKinnon gets out and you know, is Rage Against the Machine about what we're, you know, how's our nutrition? What are we eating? Like, I want to change the menus. And then he's on the bike after a game, you know, 25, 30 right, minutes doing right. this. And everybody sees it. And they're like, if the best player on the team does that, then guess what I have to do? I at least have to match it.
Yeah.
And he's better than me. So maybe I have to exceed it.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of impact guys like that have.
Well, yeah.
Thanks, John.
You know I'm still going to make the team.
You realize if I refuse to do this, I'm still going to make the team, right?
But he did it, right?
Yeah, of course he did.
Of course he did.
Good for you, bud.
Because he never once put himself above everybody else.
Yeah.
And I mean, you've told many stories how, and I remember covering you guys during those two Super Bowl years. You'd go into that room. I would put 10, 15 guys before I even got to John Elway as far as who was, you know, a presence in that room.
Mm-hmm.
John was just, most times John wasn't seen, or even when he was in there, he was just kind of quietly going about his business.
Yeah.
Chopping it up with Bubby, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you never got the sense that, wow, that's John freaking Elway.
Right.
And I think that's not a coincidence.
No, I'm 100% with you. That those guys are just, they're put together like that, and they're, again, and it goes back to, you know, the by the way, you didn't play the Rush bashing music, and we bashed.
Oh, we did, didn't we? We did do it.
But let me, I'm going to bash him real quick.
Okay.
Okay. So because this is good. This is just a natural flow, and it's not even like I'm working to bash him. It's just I'm going to bash him. So there's an authenticity to those guys. There's a realness to those guys, unlike Russ, who's fake.
Well done.
And those are the guys that have natural charisma and leadership. And there's nothing fake about it.
You think
John Elway never ran up and down the sideline shouting, run, yell, run or pass. You know what I mean?
No, you're right.
He didn't need to.
You're right. You're right. You never heard, you never hear any of Jokic's, McKinnon's, Elway's, former teammates, Manning's. You never hear people badmouth them like former Seattle Seahawks players were badmouthing Russ.
Yeah.
And that's no cap. Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips, giving you a chance to once again go out and check out a cool sporting event on us. We did it for the big game in Vegas, and now we're doing it again, Lawyers, for the Pro Basketball Championship in June. You know what they are. Here's what you get. Two tickets to a game, round trip airfare for two from Denver to a destination to be determined. Two nights hotel and $500. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register. Claim your special offer also from Sport Clips. Now, if you were somebody that signed up for our original Fan Flyaway back in February, good news. You're already grandfathered in. You're already part of the club. You're already entered for this one and all of our future Fan Flyaway. So once you sign up once, you're in there for good with a chance to win. I love this text. Hey, guys, be real. The Joker owes all of his success to Russell Wilson. Tell me why I'm wrong. Hashtag paving the way.
Text
of the day.
That is great.
That's a good
one.
That's
great stuff.
That is a good one. So congratulations to Nathan MacKinnon and Nikola Jokic. They're both going to be MVPs. And the question, you know what? This is a great question. And Johnny, I don't have it right at my fingertips. Maybe you can look it up real quick. The year that Magic and Gretzky both won MVPs in L.A., 1989, how did their teams fare that year? I'm trying to remember. Did the Lakers, I think the Pistons won in 89. Did they not? Was that the year that the Pistons broke through? And
I'm not sure.
On that. And the same thing with the Kings. I don't think the Kings won. I don't think the Kings won the
Stanley Cup
in 89 with Gretz, did they? I don't think so. So not only do you have MacKinnon and Jokic set to do something that hasn't been done since Gretzky and Magic in 89, but their teams have a chance to win two championships. That would be...
Again.
I probably shouldn't care, but man, I would love to see how the rest of the sports world handled Avalanche, Nuggets, both winning championships, both with the MVPs. How would they handle that?
How is my idea... Because I think initially... You weren't on necessarily board with me, but I think you kind of got there about if that does happen to have a dual parade.
No, I don't like that idea. I don't want the dual parade. Nope.
Why?
Why? Because each team deserves their own moment.
Dude, but that would be the ultimate.
Quite a flex.
Oh, it would be the ultimate flex. Like, we're so good in Denver, Colorado that we're just going to have one parade for both of our championships.
All right. When you put it that way, that is kind of cool. Now, I'm thinking about both teams.
And it would be, and I told you that the onus for that idea for me came the first Super Bowl I covered was Rams New England in New Orleans as a broadcaster. So I just gotten out of the league and I'm working for ESPN, and that's the first Super Bowl I ever covered. And now, I had the good fortune of being introduced as a starting player in all three Super Bowls. So you know that the start of the game, starting at right guard or starting at left guard, you know, for your Denver Broncos from Idaho, number 69, da da da, you know, and trotting out there. But the New England Patriots decided to get announced as a team, and they all ran out together. They chose not to have the defense or the offense, but the whole team, basically. And they all came out together in the introduction.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, I wish I would have thought of that. This is the ultimate flex. Like, this could be the one, like, We did it. Nobody else.
Yeah, when you put it that way. Yeah, I see the appeal of it. Because I'm thinking strictly through the lens of the accomplishment of winning a cup. The accomplishment of winning the NBA Finals is so freaking cool and so hard to do that, man, you should have your moment to be in the spotlight.
Right.
You shouldn't have to share it with anybody. But you're right. You want to? I mean, the idea that you could have the fire trucks rolling through, and on one fire truck, you've got Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Nathan MacKinnon, and Cale McCarr.
Right.
And how freaking cool is that?
And they're all sitting in, what's it, like the king's chair. What do they call it? Like they...
A throne?
Throne. And they all have crowns on. And like, what do you call those things? The gold?
Like scepters.
Scepters, yeah. And robes.
Now you kind of got me thinking about this.
Right.
Because now you think about what you can do. You can have each fire truck just has... You know, the corresponding guys. Like you have Aaron Gordon and KCP along with Devontae's and Mikko Rantanen.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually kind of cool.
Right.
Then, of course, you have the fire truck with Bedsy and Malone.
Drunk Bedsy and drunk Malone.
Together.
Just, I mean, doing keg stands and going mano-y-mano.
Right.
Beer for beer.
You know, there's Bedsy holding the funnel up. While Malone chugs.
Yo, that's right. That's right. Tastes so good when it hits your lips. It tastes so good when it hits your lips.
By the way, Malone yesterday made reference to that famous parade as he was responding to Jake Shapiro. Was asked a question about selling out all 41 games this season for Nugget Games.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible. I mean, I go back to, you know, year one. And I remember, you know, all the business people were saying, well, coach, I know you're not going to want to hear this, but you got to win before they come. And, you know, most of the people who live in Denver aren't Denver natives, right? They didn't grow up Denver Nugget fans, a lot of them. A lot of them have been here. And I've met a lot of those people along the way and at the parade, from what I remember. And appreciate y'all paying attention. You know, but for us, it's, you know, 9 years in the making to get to a point where this has become the toughest place to play in the NBA.
From what I remember.
Yeah,
and then
that's
the little
awesome.
Media laughing. Glad you guys were paying attention.
Yeah, that's
we're paying attention,
yeah,
coach.
Yeah. We're certainly paying attention to the parade, that's for sure.
Uh-huh. You know what? You sold me.
It'd be
the ultimate flex.
Just mic drop. We're so good that we have two champions to celebrate at the same time.
All right, so 89, when Magic and Gretzky both won MVPs, how did their respective teams do, Johnny?
Lakers made it to the finals but got swept by Detroit.
I thought so, okay.
Okay, good.
And the Kings got swept in the second round to Calgary, who eventually won the Stanley Cup.
All right, then.
All right.
So neither one
won a championship.
So if when McKinnon and Jokic go MVP,
mm-hmm.
just one of the teams has to win a championship. And you're making history.
Right. But if both.
Retire it.
Right.
Right? What are the odds of that ever happening again? We've had to go 35 years to be in a position where two guys from the same city win the MVP. Never mind if both teams win championships. Game over, man.
You just crown Denver as championship city and you move on.
Yep.
Dude, that would be...
Even Boston had that incredible run there for a while where they were just
right
winning championship after championship in all kinds of sports. They didn't do this.
No. Dude, this is cool, man. Really cool. It's fun to dream. I just still see MacKinnon and Jokic with their scepters, their crowns, and their robes. Have some Game of Thrones.
That'd be a party. Wow.
Music playing. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you've completely sold me on it. I am completely sold on it.
It would be so cool.
Forget about the sanctity of, well, your accomplishment should not be diluted by having a sheriff. Screw that.
I hope the city's listening to us. Who's the mayor? Is the mayor listening to us right now?
Let's make this happen?
Yeah.
Well, it certainly would cut down on the expenses.
I'm just saying.
It's a two-for-one. It's like a BOGO.
Yeah.
BOGO parade.
That's right. Buy one, get one. It would be.
In Denver today, they had their BOGO parade.
The BOGO parade.
Let's go. Let's make it happen. Which one, if you had to pick right now, is more likely?
To win the championship?
To win the championship.
Nuggets.
Yeah. And this whole thing about clinching home court, the importance of it, I never felt like they had to have it.
Right.
But now that they do have it, they became even tougher to beat. Because think about it. So
I think the Nuggets are one of the top teams in the league as far as
second
in the league.
Second in the league.
And the Avs are number one in the league, right?
Correct.
With home games?
Yep.
So there's something to it, and there's something to playing in altitude. And I never played in Denver as an opponent. So I never came here from when I was in Washington, came to Denver to play in the Mile High City. So I've never had that experience of coming here in altitude and playing.
But you had teammates, though, that did, right? Did they ever talk about it?
Oh, yeah. They said it was an absolute nightmare. So you know it's real, and it's in the... And you know, when my son was pitching for Detroit, the pitchers would tell you, dude, it takes me an extra day to recover after I pitch in Colorado. If I'm the starting pitchers would say it would take me an extra day on my rotation to recover enough to pitch again. So there, it's real. I mean, you know, the science behind it, unlike the eclipse, is real.
No, that science is real too, Mark. The moon did move in front of the sun.
Yep, and it got dark.
It did happen.
It got dark. I lived in Alaska until I was 18. Apparently, we had a solar eclipse 9 months of the year. It's called winter.
Yeah, no, not enough attention is paid to what goes on in Alaska with your weather.
That's a good point.
I got to experience that. Seriously, that's on my bucket list.
Yeah.
I got to shoot hoops at 1 in the morning in Alaska. Outside. In daylight.
Until you have that experience, I mean, what are you even doing?
What are we even doing?
Right, what are we doing
around here? But if you just look at what the Nuggets accomplished last night,
mm-hmm.
and just start to look at it from a common sense standpoint. They got the second best home record in the NBA. We've established how good they are at home. So now you go into a series in the Western Conference playoffs. First of all, in order for them to be put in peril, they have to lose a game at home. So that's the first thing that has to happen,
mm-hmm.
which the odds are low of that happening.
Right.
Then, if they do lose that game at home,
mm-hmm.
they have to lose three straight on the road in that same series to be eliminated. And this is a team, come on, we just watched them last year when they didn't have a championship under their belt. We saw how well they handled the road in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, armed with the championship experience they have, you think they sweat going out on the road? If anything, I think they relish the opportunity to go out on the road
right. In
the playoffs. So that's why it is a big deal, because not only do they have to lose a home game, but even if you do knock them off at home, you still have to hold serve on your home court three times.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
In order to win the series. And if you can't, now you're put in a position you got to come back here
mm-hmm.
and win a second time. What are the odds of that happening?
Almost zero.
Yes, correct. Which is why whenever we talk about the threats out there for the Nuggets in the West, yeah, there's some threats. That Minnesota team is legit. They'd be a thorn in their side. I think Phoenix could be the same. Clippers, we'll see. But I always break it down to this. Is there a team out there in the West that you see beating the Nuggets four times out of seven games?
The answer is no.
I don't.
No.
And I'm not trying to be a homer. I'm not trying to be Jinxie Cat. I just honestly can't see a team beating them four times. Sure, it could Minnesota beat them three times? Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Phoenix, three times? Sure, maybe. But four times?
The exact opposite.
When you don't have home court?
But by the way, the exact opposite is true for the Avalanche. Because you could see Vegas getting four off of them. You could see Dallas getting four off of the Avs, right?
Yes. Yes, that's the difference. That's the difference.
Yeah, so I still think home ice is more important for the Avs. I know they're not getting home ice, but, you know, I mean, they can have home ice in a series or two, however that works. Could they get it in two series or just one series?
Oh, no, you can get it in two.
Yeah, you can get it in two series.
Some crazy things have to happen, but you could. You could. Coming up next, is it Bo Nix or bust for the Broncos if they're getting a quarterback in the first round? That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Well, the one of the coolest traditions in sports, and I would put this one, boy, I don't know, there's so many, but I'd definitely put this one in my top 10. The ceremonial tee shots to kick off the Masters. They were delayed by weather this morning, but they just did it a few minutes ago. Very cool. You had Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, and Tom Watson with their ceremonial tee shots to get things going.
Watson's stroke looked great.
Oh, Tom Watson can still play.
But it's cool to see Gary Player.
Yep.
Cool to see Jack. So, could you imagine how nervous you'd be about shanking one into the crowd and busting somebody in the teeth if you're standing there?
I would. You would.
Right.
I'm always blown away. These professional golfers are just so stupid good.
Uh-huh.
But, like, how many times you'll see, like, somebody hits it off into the rough, right? Or they're, like, kind of near the trees.
Right.
And so they're trying to, like, shoot out this narrow alley to try to get the ball back out into play, right? So they're back out there in the woods or something, right? And there are people lined, like, 10 deep on either side of them for stretching out, like, 40 yards.
Right.
Just a tunnel of people. To the right and left.
Yeah.
And everybody just assumes with no thought or care in the world that this guy's going to just hit it dead straight down the alley and nobody's going to get plunked in the teeth.
Right.
And they never do.
Yeah, you get hit in the temple and sorry about it.
Right. But the
guy died out here on the PGA.
The faith that we have in these pros and then the pros' ability to just block it all out. Yeah, there's literally like 500 people surrounding me on my right and left. And I am shooting through a narrow corridor of people that's maybe, I don't know, 15 feet wide?
Yeah.
And nobody's worried about it.
I'd be like, hey, you guys might want to back up.
Right.
I have no idea where this is going.
Because if you did that with me,
right?
Oh, there's a good chance that the shanks come out.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you and me both. Oh, when you get the shanks, man.
Yeah. Woo.
And I would not wish the shanks on my worst enemy. Shanks are terrible to go through. Any golfer out there, shanks?
Yeah.
You know, you hit the. It is kind of like the scene in Tin Cup. You know, you do the first one, you're like, ha, 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 look at that. Little chili dip, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, then you do it again, you're like, all right, what's the problem?
Yeah.
What's going on here? What am I doing? And then it's there. And then.
Then it's in your
it's
head.
In,
then it is
you're
in
done.
Your head.
And then you're spending hours on the range, or you're suddenly calling up to get a lesson, or, oh, the shanks. Do not wish the shanks on anybody. Is it becoming clear that if the Broncos are to get a quarterback in the first round, it's going to be Bo Nix?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like that's the way it's trending?
It feels that way, Mike, but I've been doing this long enough to have a, I guess, a cynical point of view, or like when that's all you hear and it's on and on and on and the information's out there and things get released and, oh, I didn't want Sean to tell you we met with, you know, Nix for 5 hours. Man, I'm mad. It just feels like fake. Well,
No, really. That was J.J. McCarthy. But continue on.
Oh, he.
It was J.J. that George Payton said, I don't know why Sean told you that.
Oh, it was J.J.?
Yeah.
Don't get in the way of a good story.
Sorry, you're on a roll. Keep going.
Okay, but they did. Okay, oh, Nix, he wears a 13. No, it's a 12. What? I mean, so anytime I hear and it just is on and on and on and on, I just feel like that's smokescreen. That's diversion. That is subterfuge. It's cap.
It's cap. It's look over here.
Right.
Shiny toy. Pay no attention over here.
Yes. Man behind the curtain.
So, all right, then what's Sean's motive in all this? Let's say this is some evil master plan by Sean Payton.
Okay.
So you're telling me what? His plan was to artificially try to pump up J.J. McCarthy? And get as many people, including the Vikings, to think, we'll move up to get J.J. McCarthy, when that was never our plan all along?
Artificially pump up the quarterbacks so that people that are behind you will try to run up, or even people in front of you will try to run up even further to draft a quarterback, so that better players fall to me at 12, or so that great players fall and I can move back even a few more places and still get the player that I covet, that I desire, and get myself a second round pick so I can take. Like, who's the one quarterback that we haven't talked about that's considered a potential first rounder?
Penix.
He's the one guy that nobody is like.
Yeah, but that's changed, though, recently.
The reason
nobody was talking about Penix was because...
Injuries and everything else.
But then he runs a sub 4-5.
I'm not talking about everybody. I'm talking about the Broncos.
The Broncos. You're right. We've heard nothing about them linked to Penix.
Nothing.
Other than they did have him in recently for a workout.
Okay, so let me ask you this. If they're artificially pumping or trying to pump up the quarterback... you know, hysteria that the draft is every year in an effort to move back and accumulate a second rounder so they can take both a great football player at, say, 18 or 19 or 20 and get to 36 and get Penix. Like, I don't know what the plan is, but the more I hear everybody linked to a guy, the more I think that's false.
But I get it. I get the mad scientist idea of trying to pump up J.J. McCarthy to get somebody to move up and grab him, because you got to have J.J. McCarthy that mm-hmm. will drop another good football player down to you. I get that. But the constant comparisons or the link, well, I'll give you another example. Joel Klatt, our buddy Joel Klatt, who we'll have on prior to the draft, and then he'll be back with us all during football season, had this to say about Bo Nix and the Broncos.
Here's what I love about Bo Nix. His feet, his schematic acumen, his intelligence. He's off the charts as far as a leader goes. He's accurate. The ball goes to the right spot, on time, all the time. They were so good and so hard to stop. And it was because of Bo Nix. If he goes to the right organization, and this is why I think Denver fits him like a glove. Sean Payton fits him like a glove. I was in Sean Payton's offense. I know Bo Nix. I know how Bo Nix was taught. This guy is NFL ready. All right. And I love his game, and I think Denver should draft him. He's my 26th player overall.
Boy, Clapp brings his own sound effects with him too.
I know.
Had that, you know,
wee wee
tweet bird, and then a he never had that when he worked here.
I bet you.
You must get that. You must have a big budget over there at Fox.
I bet you we could. I bet you we could find sound going back to last year where he said had a similar breakdown of Bryce Young. He was his number one pick last year. Now the caveat there is if he goes to the right organization. I don't know that anybody's going to have great success, but Bryce Young was overwhelmed, and he was the most accurate quarterback in the draft, and he had great feet, and he got through progressions. How was he? Now, again, Carolina, bad situation, bad organization. But you did have a coach in Carolina that did take a team, you know, and ended up winning in Frank Reich. He was on that Philadelphia. Did he take his team to a? Maybe he didn't take his team. I think he was. Was he on the Philadelphia team in 2017 that won the championship? Where was Frank Reich?
Sorry, I'm a little distracted. Breaking news.
No, yeah. But anyhow, long story short, he was in a bad. I get that he was in a bad situation, but you know there are a lot of people that said Bryce Young was exactly that. Great feet, footwork, accuracy, all that stuff.
TMZ is reporting that O.J. Simpson has died.
Oh.
Passed away after a battle with cancer. Reportedly, he was surrounded by children and grandchildren. Passed away last night.
Okay.
This is according to TMZ. So, there you go. Pass that news along to you. O.J. Simpson, dead. All right. Coming up, the players have spoken, and the results are great when it comes to a couple of Avalanche. That's next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
So the NHL players put out a, they were polled, kind of like, you know, just a classic player poll, asked a bunch of different questions, and boy, the Avalanche showed up well. So one of the questions was, basically you got to win one game, which defenseman do you want out there?
Right.
And Cale Makar got 58% of the vote.
Okay.
Some of the other questions, I'm reading from Will Peterson's article at denversports.com. In a must-win game, which defenseman do you want on your team? Cale Makar, 56% of the vote. Next closest was Victor Hedman from Tampa at 10%.
Wow. Pretty dramatic.
So it wasn't even close.
No.
Guys like Quinn Hughes, you know, cute Vancouver Canuck fans like to say that Quinn Hughes is better than Cale Makar. He got 4% of the vote. This is player votes.
Yeah.
These are the guys that know the game. Play the game. Ball recognizes ball type thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cale got 56% of the vote. Next closest guy was Victor Hedman at 10%. How crazy is that?
That is a huge margin.
A huge margin from your peers. How about that? Also, Makar finished first on who is the best breakout passer in the game with 26% of the vote. Quinn Hughes came in second with 10%. Again, big difference.
Mm-hmm. Big.
Nathan MacKinnon all over the place. If you need to win one game, who's the forward you want on your team? Who's the best stick handler? Also fared well in questions. Who's the most complete player? Which player do you at least enjoy playing against but would like to have on your own team? He finished third in one category. If you had to win one game, what forward would you want? And fifth in the other three. That still kind of surprises me.
From players. Yeah, that is.
That kind of surprised me a little.
Third in one category. I mean, obviously, Connor McDavid would be ahead of him, right? Who else was ahead of him?
Let's see.
Kucherov?
If you need to win one game, who's the forward you want on your team? Connor McDavid got 49% of the vote. McKinnon got 6.5. Even Sidney Crosby was ahead of him. Well, you know what? You know what that tells me? McKinnon needs this Hart Trophy.
Yeah.
Which kind of, that, you know what? That disturbs me. Because it's one thing if the media or the fan bases around the league are slow to come around on McKinnon. His own peers? I know Connor McDavid's a great player. I don't buy it. I don't see it. All I know is that whenever he has been on the ice against Nathan McKinnon in a big game, McDavid disappears. McKinnon doesn't.
Yeah. Didn't they play the other night in Edmonton 1-6-2?
Yeah, but sorry, that's not a big game. Not a playoff game. Not a playoff series.
You're still looking at seeding.
Come on. Last time they played in a meaningful series, Avs swept them, and McDavid was invisible. Best stick handler, Connor McDavid, 35% of the vote. Patrick Kane, 21%. Jack Hughes, 8. Nikita Kucherov, 8. McKinnon, 4. All right.
This article is not fun.
I'm not enjoying this. I enjoyed it at the start. Now I'm not enjoying it. Who's the most complete player? Sidney Crosby, 38% of the vote. Alexander Barkov, 14%. Kopitar, 8. McDavid, 8. McKinnon, 6. All right, I've had enough of this. NHL players, you're dead to me.
It's a bad article.
It's a bad.
Why would you even print that, Will Peterson? And what are the NHL players, they don't watch film.
Which player do you least enjoy playing against but would love to have on your team? Brad Marchand of the Bruins, 29%. Connor McDavid, 17%. Matthew Tkachuk at 7%. Tom Wilson, he's an a-hole. Washington, 6%. Nathan McKinnon, 5%. Actually, I kind of like that.
Why?
Because that kind of implies he's a Romanowski. That's kind of how this question is framed.
Right.
We're kind of like the Romanowskis out there. Guys that you're like,
oh, so you're saying you like
but
him.
But I'd love to have him on my team.
You're saying that he's only 5% means that Nathan McKinnon's a good guy.
Well, no, that there's some players out there that view him as kind of a, well, let's be clear, a bit of a jerk to play against.
No, I mean, he's down at like 6th or 7th place.
Yeah, but out of all the players in the NHL, he still shows up on 5% of the ballots? There's an element to that question of a player you really don't like.
Yeah, I get that, but I just am still...
I mean, if you're on the same list with Tom Wilson and Brad Marchand, it's pretty clear what the gist of this question is.
I'm just saying that I don't like the fact that Nathan McKinnon is 5 or 6 on all these.
Yeah. McCarr has the overwhelming respect of his peers.
Uh-huh.
McKinnon doesn't.
Yeah.
That one surprises me.
Oh, now they're breaking the news on ESPN. OJ.
Yeah, just again, passing along, OJ Simpson has passed away at the age of 76 after a battle with cancer. Do with that news what you will. I'm not looking to get into an OJ debate right now.
Yep. I agree with that.
Right?
Yeah, I do agree with that.
At this point, you've already formed your opinion.
Right.
And nothing's going to change it.
He's not going to find the killers. Am I right? Too soon? Is that too soon?
Well, it was his life's mission right up to the end, I guess,
right.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Devoted a lot of time to that.
Devoted a ton of time.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mark, thank you for putting me in a very awkward position right now. Probably use this time to tell you about the Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips. The Fan Flyaway is back. And, you know, we had so much fun with it back during the big game in Vegas in February. Well, now, with the lawyers still hovering over my shoulder, we're sending one lucky listener and a guest to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championships in June. Here's what you'll get. Two tickets to a game, round-trip airfare for two from Denver to a destination to be determined, two nights hotel, and $500. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. Now, for those of you who previously entered our last Fan Flyaway, good news, you're already registered, so you don't have to go back and do it again. Once you sign up for one of our Fan Flyaways, you're in. So we got a bunch more Fan Flyaways coming up, so not only get yourself in the running for this one, but all of our future ones coming up. Again, the Fan Flyaway. Go to denversports.com/thefanflyaway. Up next, what exactly is the significance of what the Nuggets accomplished last night? That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.